God has truly blessed us with giving us those that have those abilities to lead us into worship. Amen. Thank you all so much for that. If you'll take your notes, your sheet that's in your bulletin, we are going to, as I said earlier, we are going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11. We are going to be looking at the running the marathon to maturity. This is week 4 of our 40 days of purpose. What on earth am I here for? We've looked at our first calling, and that is we are called to be loved by God. We've looked at our second calling, and that is to we are called to belong. And so now we are looking at our third calling, which you're going to be looking at this week in your 40 days of purpose, and that is that we are called to become. Again, if you've missed any of those, I want to encourage you to go to the website, pull those up, listen to those. They build upon one another. And actually, those building blocks go together very well when you understand that, yes, we are created not just to be loved by God, we were created not just to belong, but we were called to become. And that's what our passage that I read for you earlier was telling us in Romans chapter 8. If you'll notice there on verse 29, it said, "And he chose them to become like his son." So that's what goes in that very first blank that you have there. My third calling in life is to become like Christ. Now, I want you to understand what that means, to become like Christ. The song that we did, I want to be like Jesus. The verse was saying, I want to be like Jesus in my life, or in my heart. It's telling us and it's helping us to understand that we're talking about becoming like Christ's in characteristics, not to be God. How many times have you read, or how many times have you heard already in the 40 days of purpose, that we will not ever become a God? Amen? But we are to become Christ-like. We are to become like Christ. So what that means is that what it talks about in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. We are to have the characteristics of Christ in our lives. That means we will have these fruits of the Spirit in our life: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't know how many times I have sat where you're sitting and listened to a preacher say that and say, this is how you're supposed to be. This is what your life is supposed to be like. You're supposed to have these fruits of the Spirit in your life. Now, go forth and get the fruit. And I don't know how many times I sat there going, you know, it would really be a help if you'd let me know how I'm supposed to get that fruit in my life, how I'm supposed to do that. And that's really what this message is about this morning. This message is about how do we develop that? How do we become like Christ? Well, I think we do it by running a race. I think we do it by running in this marathon to maturity. All throughout the Bible, God's word uses the analogy of running a race, compared it to us living our lives, becoming like Christ, maturing, whatever word you want to use there. I do understand, and I want you to understand, though, this is not a 50-yard dash. This is not even a 100-yard dash. This is not even a 440. This is a marathon. It starts when we begin our Christian life, and it ends when we are standing face to face with our Lord. It is a marathon that we run. It is not a short distance race. So how do we do it? How do we get these characteristics in our lives? Well, we do it by understanding, and what I'm going to do is kind of give a comparison to running the race, this marathon, and maturing and becoming what God wants us to become. In Hebrews chapter 12, he starts off by telling us in chapter 12, verse 1, he said, "Let us strip off anything that slows us down, that holds us back, especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. Let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us." So first of all, I want you to see the first part of this, in running this marathon to maturity, we must remember that first of all, we're in a race. Now, when I was playing sports, I've shared with you all the stories before, my track career was very limited, not very illustrious. But I did know one thing. Whenever the coach said, "Okay, I'm going to put you in this race," he wanted me to run, didn't he? It wasn't acceptable, for us to go, "Yeah, I'll do the race," and then just kind of walk around. He wants us to run it. He wanted us to run that race. And I want you to understand, and I want you to see two things here about this race, that we're in a race. First of all, we need to be running this race. It says, "Let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back." What that's telling us is in this race, we're going to have to let go of some stuff. We're going to have to remove some things. We're going to have to lay some things aside. We're going to have to put away some things in our life. We're going to have to cut out, clean out, and discard some things that are holding us back from running this race. See, when they practice for the race, a lot of times they use weights, don't they? And the weights tend to build up strength in the race, but you never see anybody running a marathon race with a bunch of weights and a bunch of luggage and backpacks and all this other stuff on them, do you? As a matter of fact, they strip down to where they just don't have much on at all. They've got a shirt, pair of shorts, and some tennis shoes, and that's about it. The reason for it is no matter what we have, all that other stuff, and it may not be bad, and I want to make that point, we're not necessarily talking about stuff that's bad. We're just talking about stuff that it just slows you down. It hinders you in running your race. There's clutter in our lives. There's unnecessary baggage in our lives. There's diversions. There's distractions. As a matter of fact, the word that's used here where he says anything actually means a weight. It means something bulky, something burdensome, something heavy that holds us back. May not necessarily be anything wrong, but it's holding us back. The second thing I want you to understand about this verse, that we're running the race. First of all, we're running a race, but number two, we have to run our race. You have to run your race. You see what he said? "Let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us." God has a race for you to run, and you are the only one that can run that race, and you can't run somebody else's race. God has a particular race for you that you need to be running, and we've got to decide, are we going to run my own race? Am I going to run somebody else's race? Or am I going to run the race that God created me to run? You can't do all three. You can only do one. And we have to decide that. That's what this point is getting at. If we're going to run this marathon to maturity, we've got to decide. Am I going to get rid of some things? Now, we always associate that, and because it says the word sin, we always associate the bad things. Well, I got to get rid of these bad things before I can run the race. But it's anything that slows us down. Even some good things slow us down, don't they? We need to realize that we're running a race, and we need to get some of that weights off of us that are holding us back. And we need to run the particular race that God has given us to run. Second thing I want you to see, in running this marathon to maturity, I must run with patience. Second part of verse 1, let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. The thing that I want you to understand is this race is going to take a while. It's not a 20, 40, 50, 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. It's going to take a little while to run. You're not going to finish it in a week, in a month, a year. It's going to take your entire life to finish this marathon to maturity. So don't get impatient with it. I don't even remember where I got it, where I first saw it at. But the statement, it says, if God wants to make a mushroom, it takes him 6 hours. If he wants to make an oak tree, it takes 60 years. And the question is, which one do you want to be? Do you want to be a mushroom, or do you want to be an oak tree? You see, I think we're all understand we want to be oak trees whenever the storms of life come, whenever the difficulties, whenever the rain and the wind blows against us in life, we want to be the oak tree. Because what happens to the mushrooms? They blow away, don't they? They're gone. We want to be that oak tree. And so we need to realize we need to not be impatient. We need to realize that we're going to run. We need to run with patience because it takes a little while. Number three, not only are in running this marathon of maturity, we must run with the right focus. Let me ask you, before I get into this very, have you ever seen what happens to somebody when they're running a race and they start trying to look over in the stands and see who's watching them? Every now and then that happens, doesn't it? They're not usually the ones that win the race, are they? As a matter of fact, they usually fall on their face, don't they? Or they run out of their lane and they get disqualified. So we need to understand that we're in a marathon, we're running a race, but we need to make sure that we're running with the right focus, that we got our eyes focused the right place. Well, again, the writer of Hebrews tells us exactly where we need to have that focus, doesn't he? Verse 2, chapter 12, verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from the start to finish. I'm going to need to focus our attention on when we're running this race on Christ. Now, the reason we do this is because whatever you spend the most time focusing on, that's what you become like. If we spend 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes a day with Jesus, then we become more like him and more like him and more like him. When we focus our attention on Christ, we become more like him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, all of us have had that veil removed so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, here's what I wanted you to see. We become more and more like him, and we begin to reflect his glory even more. That term more and more means it takes some time. It's a process. It's systematic. It's daily. It's a step at a time. It's a progress. Becoming implies that it doesn't happen instantly. You see, our problem is we live in an instant society. We've got instant potatoes, instant coffee, instant rice. But can I tell you something? There is not any instant maturity. We're always trying to find that quick fix. Pastor, tell me what book to read that'll change my life and I'll be mature. Tell me what message on a CD I need to order that will change my life. Give me that magic bullet that I'll experience it and wham, I'm mature. Because that's how our society says. Our society says you don't want to wait 3 minutes for oatmeal to cook, so just wait 1 minute. Put it in the microwave. Maturity doesn't happen that way. It's a process. But we need to understand that as we go through that process, who we're focusing on is who we become. You notice it says in reflects his glory. The more we spend time with Christ, the more we begin to resemble Christ. And we then begin to reflect his glory. What is his glory? It's what I started off telling you about, those fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, all those things. The more time we focus on Christ, the more time we spend with Christ, the more we look like him, the more we reflect his glory. So we need to run with a focus, don't we? We need to have our eyes at the right place. Number four, in running this marathon to maturity, though, I need to realize I don't need to get discouraged. That's what the text has there for you, Hebrews chapter 12, the end of verse 3, it tells us, so don't let yourselves become discouraged and give up. Have you ever felt discouraged and thought about giving up? Of course we have. Of course there's been times in our lives when stuff didn't seem to be going right. We felt like we had more than we could carry. We felt like those weights, we weren't able to move our legs, much less run. We need to understand we don't need to get discouraged. See, the goal for God is to make you and me men and women of God. And it's a lifetime process. It's an ongoing thing. It's not a 50-yard dash. And in this marathon, there is going to be some problems. There is going to be some trials. There will be some pressures. There will be some difficulties. There will be ups and there will be downs. But as God gets us through those, we become more like him, don't we? We become more like Christ. Were there ever times that Jesus was lonely? Of course there was. Were there ever times he was criticized? Of course there was. Was there ever a time he was betrayed? Of course there was. Was there a time when he was worn out and fatigued and tired, but he kept on going? Of course there was. Was there ever a time he was misunderstood? Yes. Let me ask you a question, and you've read this and you've heard it. If God did not spare his son from going through those things, where do we get the expectation that we're not going to go through them, right? Because through those things, we become more like him. When life starts to hurt, we need to remember not to get discouraged. 1 Peter 5:10 has a promise there for you. It says, he will make you strong and he will support you. So we have a short-term problems, but on earth for long-term gains in heaven. We endure these short-term problems here for that long-term glory in heaven. Number five, and I'll be honest with you, this is where I've been trying to get to because I want to spend a few minutes on number five and number seven. In running this marathon to maturity, I need to remember the encouragement that I receive. I need to remember those encouragements that I receive. Did you hear that? Did you hear the cheering section in this passage? It's in verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses. Now, anytime you see the word therefore, you need to look to see what was there before you read that passage. And what was there before chapter 12 is chapter 11. In chapter 11, and I just this morning, before we started Sunday school, I just kind of went and did some quick, just scanning through. You want to see who's cheering you on? You want to understand, remember the encouragement that you receive? In chapter 11, it talks about Abel. It talks about Enoch. It talks about Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Esau and Joseph and Moses and Rahab. And it says all these are in this hall of faith because of their faith. And then chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, because of all those people that we just talked about, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, then let us throw off everything that hinders us. We need to remember there is a chewing section as we run this race. We need to realize that in every stage of our lives, the chewing section is cheering for us. Now, I want you to hear this, and I want you to get this. This might change your life completely when you realize this. See, some people, sometimes we have this idea that God doesn't smile on us or that God doesn't encourage us until we've reached the finish line, until we've got mature, until we've cleaned our act up. And I want you to understand that is dead wrong. God smiles at us on every segment or every stage of our development. He's not waiting for us to get a certain maturity and then goes, okay, you're good now. Now I'm going to cheer for you. Now I'm going to... He's not ashamed of us. Remember Romans chapter 8, verse 1? Therefore, there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Hear what Paul says in Philippians 3:12. He said, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be what Christ saved me to be and wants me to be. I'm still not all that I should be, but I am focusing all of my energies on this one thing, that I forget the past, I look forward to what is ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race, and receiving the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. Paul's saying, listen, I ain't got it all together. If there was anybody other than Christ, or next to Christ, I guess you should say, that could say, getting pretty close to being there, it was the Apostle Paul, wasn't it? But he even says, I don't have it all together. So I keep straining ahead because God is cheering me on. I really want to make sure you understand this, so let me put this in an earthly idea. Each of us that are in here that are parents, grandparents, we've all went and watched our kids, our grandkids, or just some special kids in your life. We've all watched them go and participate in sports or run a race, right? Let me ask you a question. When did you start cheering for them? I guess if we fit the mode of what we think God does, then that means we sat there and we didn't say a word until they got first place or until they scored a touchdown. No, that's not what we did, is it? As soon as they hit the field, we start hollering for them, don't we? We holler encouragement at them. You can do this. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever been watching them run and something happens and they stumble and they fall? What do we do? Well, if we did like what we think our attitude towards God is, that means we got up off in the stands and we left and we were disappointed and we turned our back on them. But I'm here to tell you, that's not what we do, is it? As a matter of fact, as parents, and especially, grandparents, we cheer them on from the very beginning of the race. And if they have a problem, if they stumble, if they trip, if they embarrass themselves, we scream all the louder, don't we? We get up and jump up and down and we tell them, get up, you can do it. And brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, God is doing the same thing. He is not turning his back on you when you're running and when you stumble and when you fall. He's cheering louder. And Moses is cheering louder. And Joseph is cheering louder. And Gideon is cheering louder. And Rahab is cheering louder. All those that went before us. So in this marathon, We need to remember the encouragement that we receive. Number six, in running this marathon, we need to remember also to stay on the path. Hebrews 12:12-13 talks about it. It says, lift up your tired hands and strengthen your trembling knees and keep walking on the straight path so that your lame foot will not be disabled, but instead will be healed. I'll be honest with you. That's kind of a strange verse, isn't it? When you first read it, you think, what? But what that verse is telling us and what that verse is reminding us is that we have a path, we have a track that God has laid for us. And if you want to be the most effective, if you want to run this race to maturity and stumble and fall the least, we really need to be on the track that he has for us, doesn't he? Don't we? We need to run the race that he wants us to run. What I'm saying is we ought not take shortcuts. If you go and play golf, you know what happens when you usually take a shortcut? You're in the rough, aren't you? You're in the weeds. You're in the trees. What happens when you're out there running a cross-country marathon and you try to take a shortcut? You usually wind up running into some shrubs, don't you? You run into problems. We need to stay on the path. Now, so that your lame foot may not be disabled, but instead be healed. What's he talking about? Well, I think what he's talking about here and what I've got from this is that we all run the race of life with a limp. We've all got limps. We have emotional limps. We have race relational limps, physical limps, spiritual limps. None of us are perfect. So we run with limps. And the thing that I realize in what this verse is telling us is if you have a limp, it's even more important that you stay on the path that God has set. You just stay on the track. Because when you get off over here in the mountains, you get off in the rough, you get off over here in the bar ditch, and if you've got a limp, let me tell you something, you're going to fall, aren't you? You're going to stumble. And so we need to understand we all run with a limp. And if we stay on God's path, then that we run that race without stumbling, without falling, without having those difficulties. And now the final one, and then we're going to be done. This is really perhaps the most important one that I'm telling you today. And that is we need to remember in this, when we're running this marathon to maturity, we need to remember that there's a finish line. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, I am sure that God who began the work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back again. Now, I want you to understand this and I want you to get this. We've talked about these things that we stumble. We've talked about all these different things. But there is going to come a day when there's all of our weaknesses are gone. When all of our limps are gone. When all of our fears are gone. When all of the faults are gone. When all of our failures, insecurities, blemishes, flaws, they're all going to be gone. And you and I will be transformed into perfection. If we trust Christ, we put our lives in Christ's hands, then we need to remember there's a finish line. There's a day coming. And then we're going to reflect his glory, aren't we, completely? We're going to be like him, reflecting his glory. Brothers and sisters, I am not all that I should be. You're not all that you should be. We're a fraction of what God, of what we could be. But there's going to come a day when we cross the finish line. See, for those who are lost, the finish line is scary. The finish line is the end. This finish line is something to be feared. But as those who have a hope in Christ Jesus, the finish line is not something to be feared. The finish line is something to be anticipated. Just like when you're running the race, when you get tired, when you get frustrated, when you start to hurt, what are you looking for? You're looking forward to that finish line, aren't you? And we need to look forward to it as well. God says there's going to come a day when he's going to, in his passage, says, I'm going to finish up whatever you didn't get finished. We need to understand in this race we're going to stumble, we're going to struggle. Sadly enough, we're even going to be times when we're on the sidelines, aren't we? But the race isn't over. If you're still alive and kicking, if you're still breathing, then the race is still going on. It's never too late. That's what God's word says. It's never too late to get back into the race. If we will just do those things that we talked about this morning, if we'll just get rid of some of those things, that weight that weights us down and that entangles us, if we'll remember not to get discouraged, if we will remember to run with patience, if we will remember to run with our eyes focused on the goal, to remember that those who are cheering for us, and God's the lead cheerer, if we will remember that there's a finish line and set our sights on that, amen? And let me tell you one other thing. This church, that's what we're about. We're about helping one another get up whenever they stumble and fall. We're about helping one another cross the finish line. So there's no shame in stumbling. There's no shame in having a limp, because we all do it. The only shame, if you want to say it that way, is that you take and put yourself on the sidelines and you're not a part of the race. Because see, our brothers and sisters in Christ, have you not learned that? Have we not been learning that in our 40 days especially? That our brothers and sisters in Christ, our responsibility is to help one another, to be committed to one another, that when we stumble, there's somebody there to help pick us up? I'll be honest with you, they have marathons on the TV all the time, and I don't watch them very often. And the reason for it is I'm not a big fan of long-distance running. I'm not a big fan of short-distance running. Especially not long-distance, though. But when we did see it, when we do watch it, like the Olympics and things like that, I'll never forget seeing the story of a young man who was running, I don't remember, they were going to 440, something like, I don't even remember what the race was. But he takes off running, and he was the anticipated winner, the forerunner of this race. And he took off running, and he got about a quarter of the way around the race. And all of a sudden, you saw him, he grabbed his hamstring, the back of his leg, and he starts limping, and he falls down completely on the ground. And you're watching that, and you feel bad for him, and then all of a sudden, you see this person jump out of the stands. And they come running over there to him. And you realize finally, and it's finally understood, it's his dad. And his dad picks him up. Now, this is a grown man running. He picks him up, drapes an arm over his shoulder, and between the two of them, they start making their way around. And at first, there were some security people that were going to keep him away, but the runners shoot him off and basically explain, this is my dad. And with a limp, hopping along, with the ability, because his dad was right beside him, they cross the finish line. Brothers and sisters, that's the race that you and I are in. It's a marathon. But we need to remember we have a Heavenly Father who not only is cheering us, but He's there for us to rely on, to rest on. And if I understand God's word at all, it also tells us that you and I are to be that support for one another as well. Amen? So it's time to get back into the race. It's time to get back into this marathon of maturity. If you've been sidelined for whatever reason. So I encourage you this morning, understand that we have a Heavenly Father that's cheering us on. But you have a Heavenly Father and a church family that's willing to come out on the track and help pick you up. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for just a moment.